Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
What a sweet time of worship this morning. You know, there's so many places we could be this morning, but I can't think of any better place than right here, worshiping the risen King with my family. Well, today we're going to continue the discipleship series, and actually we're going to wrap up today with our discipleship series from that Pastor Mike has been going through the past couple of weeks. And today we're going to ask the question, what is your story? What's your story? You know, disciple making is a passion of mine. It's something that I love to do. You know, we have a celebration when someone gets saved and when they get baptized, and I think we should celebrate just as much when someone moves deeper and deeper into their faith and becomes more and more like Christ, when they start to live the abundant life that God has called us to live. I think that that is a true victory when we get to that place where we're not just getting people saved and getting people baptized and getting people in the church. All that is good and necessary, but that is just the first step on a long journey, a lifelong journey that we all have to be on. And disciple making is something that I think is one of the most important things that our church does. And in order to do that, that is not my job to make disciples. That is not Pastor Mike's job to make disciples. That is not our board of elders' job to make disciples. It is everyone's job. Jesus didn't leave and say, you know, I'm leaving the earth and here's your great commission. Have your pastor make disciples. That's not what he said. He said, go, and as you go, make disciples. Teaching, that's all of our jobs. But you know, when we have a job, I'm a pretty handy guy. I like to do a lot of DIY projects around the house. And when we bought our house, it needed a lot of work. It still needs a lot of work. And so I'm constantly finding myself doing some project, fixing something that's broken, you know, amending something that needed to be fixed or whatever all the time. And one of the things that's most frustrating for me is when I'm trying to do the job and I don't have the proper tools. It is so much easier to do a job correctly and efficiently when you have the correct tools. So what we want to do today is talk about one of the tools that we have in our tool belt to be able to make disciples. Now, this is just one of the tools, but when we have that proper tool to use, it's easier to get the job done. We're more efficient when we do that. So we want to give you the proper tools, not only to be more like Jesus in your own life, but also to help others to come to the place where they're also experiencing the abundant life. The abundant life that Jesus has called us to do. And we're supposed to be reproducing. As believers, you and I are supposed to be reproducing. We're supposed to be bearing fruit. So part of being a disciple is making disciples. We're going to start off today with a little bit of fun here, okay? So we're going to do some movie quote. How many movie buffs we got in here? So we're going to do some movie quote trivia here. Here you go. You talking to me? What movie is that from? Somebody said it, I heard it. You talking to me? Taxi Driver, there we go. John got that one, ding, ding. Give John 2 points. All right. There's no place like home. That's an easy one. Where's that from? Wizard of Oz. How about this one? Show me the money. Jerry Maguire, all right. Y'all are doing pretty good at this. You're doing better than the students did. I gave this message at camp, at quit camp, and I realized I went a little too far back with my movie quotes here because they're all looking at me like, Gonna need a bigger boat. Jaws, that's right. I see dead people. Sixth Sense, there you go. There's no crying in baseball. Love that movie. That's one of my favorite lines. Hasta la vista, baby. Terminator, which one, though? No. Two. Terminator 2. Judgment Day, that one's from, and one of my favorite movies at all times, and I say this all the time because I have kids that are always doing silly stuff. You're killing me, Smalls. Sandlot, great movie, isn't it? Great movie. How many of you have seen a good movie lately? Really good movie. Have you told anybody about that movie? Yeah, you told somebody about the movie. Recently, we we're a little late on the bandwagon. We don't often get to the movie theater, so oftentimes we don't see something until it's out on Redbox or Netflix. But our family, we rented Greatest Showman. Have you seen that movie yet? If you've not seen that movie, go get that movie. Go to Redbox, find it. I don't know if it's on Netflix yet, but go get that movie. It is an incredible movie, great movie. We watched it 3 times in the weekend that we rented it. And then it was showing on the cruise, and we went down into the little theater and watched it on the cruise when we went on as a family vacation this year. It's a great movie. Now, how many? You said you've watched a good movie lately, and how many of you have told somebody about that movie? Let me see, show of hands. Told somebody about that. I just told you about Greatest Showman, right? Here's the deal. We talk about people sharing their stories. In a church, we call it our testimony. You know, we have this big fancy word for everything. Our story is what we're going to call it today, but it's your testimony. What is God doing in your life? And I'm here to challenge you today because a lot of times people will say, you know, I can't share my faith. I'm not properly equipped to evangelize. Well, there's a Greek word to describe that. My dad used to use it all the time. It's baloney. Baloney. You can share your testimony. If you can tell somebody about the movie that you watched this week, and you can share that story with them, if you can tell them about your new boyfriend or girlfriend, if you can tell them about the shopping website that you found, if you can brag on your husband or your wife, if you can tell what happened on your last vacation, if you can share the success story of your child and his or her last sports victory, you can share your testimony. If you have the skills to tell a story, to communicate something that's happened, then you can share your story. Now, maybe you can't break down all the intricacies of the gospel for somebody, like maybe a seminary professor could. Maybe you can't quote scripture with the reference in 3 different translations. Maybe you don't know the Greek words for sin and how to use them. Maybe you can't explain the intricacies of Jewish life during the time of Jesus like maybe Ray Summercam or somebody, but you do know your story because it's your story, right? It's something that's happened to you. It's how God has impacted and influenced your life, and you can share your story. It's your testimony, and just like having the right tools to do the DIY project at home, it's a great tool, a powerful tool in helping to make disciples. And we're going to look at some of the reasons why that's a powerful tool, why your story is a powerful tool that God can use to bring others to Him and to deepen others in their faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 reads this. It says, "The one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony." Y'all say that with me. Has this testimony within him. So when you believe in the Son of God, you already have a testimony. You have a story. And where is that story? It's in you. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. If you're wondering what your testimony is, here it is. And Scripture lays it out for us in case you missed this. God has given us eternal life, and this life is found in His Son. That's the testimony. That's the good news that you and I can share with others. I was lost. God showed up in my life, and now I'm found. I was wandering in darkness. Here's how God showed up in my life, and now I'm in the light. I was broken, and Jesus came into my life and fixed the things that were broken, replaced them, healed them, and now I'm walking in wholeness and in life. That's your testimony. All of us have it. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you have a story. You have a testimony. One of the things I want to point out today about our testimony, about our story, is the way that you experience that testimony, that right there. God has given us eternal life, and this life is found in His Son, Jesus. That's the testimony. But here's the deal. Each of us have experienced that in a totally unique way for you. So one of the powerful things about our testimony is that your testimony is unique to you. It's your testimony. You know, I sometimes wrestle with the effectiveness of my own testimony. I have what some people call a silver spoon testimony. I always practically born and raised and brought up in the church. And so I don't have these horrific stories about dealing with drug addictions and all these things about wandering in this total, you know, this lifestyle that was totally separated from God. I don't have that as part of my testimony. But you know what? My testimony is my testimony. It's how God dealt with me. And I, just like many of you, I struggle sometimes with where I belong and where I fit in and how God can use me in different things. And oftentimes I find myself comparing myself to others and saying, man, you know, I wish I was more like, or I wish my testimony was as powerful as, or I wish that God could use me like so-and-so. I wish I was as talented as Bernie. You know, I wish that I was as knowledgeable about Jewish culture as Ray is, or I had the speaking presence of an Andy Stanley, or I was as good looking as John Smith. You know, oftentimes we want to do that. We compare ourselves to other people, and we want to do that. And here's the problem with that. When we do that, when we compare ourselves in our testimony and the way God's using us and our story, when we compare ourselves with others, what we're really doing is we're discrediting God when we discount how He's made us. What we're saying there is that I'm not like John, and therefore God messed up. He made a mistake when He made me. That's what we're really saying at the heart of that when we compare ourselves to others. And I struggle with that sometimes. You know, what we're saying when we do that, we say He didn't know what He was doing when He made me. I'm somehow of less value because my story and my design is different than theirs. And we struggle with that. I do, and I know probably some people in here do the same thing. And oftentimes when we're hearing other people's stories, you know, I have the privilege to hear a lot of testimonies in different areas, people coming and sharing their what's going on with them in their life. And the Trace Deist movement, one of the things we do is share our testimonies. And we hear a lot of these things at men's retreats and through friends. And oftentimes I hear these powerful moves of God taking people from death to life and rescuing them from some horrible situations in their life, and how God has just brought restoration and healing in such tremendous ways. And sometimes we look at that and you say, you know what, but that's not my story. But that's okay, because your story is unique to you. Now, I was going to share a little bit more about my story here, but you guys have been listening to me long enough, so we're going to hear from somebody else. And last week we heard from one Summer, and this week I've asked Nate Summer if he would come and share a little bit with me today. And he's going to help me by helping to share his story. And the reason I wanted a student to do this is because oftentimes we kind of think that I'm not equipped or I'm not prepared to do this or that or the other because I'm blank, whatever that might be, because I'm young, because I'm old, because I've, you know, been in church my whole life, or whatever that might be. And I wanted to hear from one of our students about his story. And so Nate and I talked a little bit this week, and we're going to kind of play off each other just a little bit and kind of make a little interview. But Nate's going to share a little bit about his story. So Nate.
Thanks, Aaron. Well, I grew up with two loving parents, and they taught me about God and who God was and how He loves me and everything about God. And that's all fun and games until about 11 years old, I first got tested in my faith. And that's not like, oh, my mom's not looking, my mom's not looking, I can grab a cookie out of the cookie jar. It's a big one. And my mom got diagnosed with breast cancer in that year, and I, as a little kid, didn't really know what to do with that information. I always heard about cancer and how people die from it, and she was able to survive it, of course, and it was caught early, so there was very little doubt that she was not going to live, but just that word and even the slightest possibility of her being able to die really scared me. And
you shared with me a little bit about what that did to your faith.
Yes, I started trying to take everyone's problems and carry it all myself. And I pushed God out of the picture and tried to play God. I tried to take everyone's problems and just not tell anyone my problems, and I was staying at home a lot of times and trying to teach myself my own school a little bit just because my mom was always gone at the doctor's, and from that my grades started failing, my love for God starting to drift away, and I lost all my faith in God.
And how did you come out of that? What happened to bring you through that?
Well, the truth is I really didn't. I didn't really have faith in God until much more recently, and I started opening up to God, and He started mending those old wounds. And that's the thing. Testimonies are ongoing. Like, I struggled with that, and I struggled with that all the way till now. And it's okay, because, I mean, your testimony, as long as you're living, your testimony is still going.
So you were born and raised in the church, and yet you still struggle with your faith in God.
Yes, sir.
And how, even recently, you had a little bit of struggle with that at camp. You shared something.
Yeah.
Share a little bit about that, too.
I lost faith in God, and I started to not believe in Him, and I started opening up, and through that, I started to see God again.
Yeah, so you're willingness to share that and to come out and say, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this. And God showed up in your life, right?
Yes, sir.
He did. He showed up in a powerful way, even for you, and to bring you through that time, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I wanted us to hear a little bit from Nate because, you know, Nate grew up in the church. And that's a lot like my testimony. I grew up in the church. And some people think, well, you've got no problems if you grew up in the church. You've always known God. You know, He's always been there. You've not struggled with, you don't realize what I've struggled with. But here's the deal. My testimony may not speak to everyone. But just like Nate's testimony is similar to mine, if I'm going through a time of doubt and faith in my own walk, someone like Nate, who is in the same situation that I'm in, his story is going to speak to me. And so the uniqueness of his story being strictly his story, it is a powerful tool that God can use. And I have to understand that about my own story. That sometimes your story may be similar to another, but your story is not my story. It's uniquely yours, and it's powerful. It's a unique story of God's love for you and your circumstances and how that love, just like with Nate, love of God, you know, God didn't turn His back on Nate. God didn't say, well, Nate, you've known about me your entire life. You've been in church your whole life. You've Sunday school, your mom and dad teach, and they brought you up right, and here you are not believing me. I'm turning my back on you. If you're going to be that way, that's not how God dealt with that, did He? God lovingly and tenderly wooed Nate back to Him and said, listen, I understand your doubts. Here, let's work through these things. And that's His testimony, and that's a powerful tool of how God has been used in his life. And here's the deal. Whether or not you grew up in church, you could have been the greatest sinner on earth, involved in every kind of horrible thing you can imagine, that God saved you out of that, or you could have grown up in church like me. Both of us needed Jesus just as much. Jesus saved me out of just as dark of a black pit as He saved you out of, because we had the same destiny because of the sin and the separation in our life. I needed a Savior just as much as anyone else, and so do you. Your story is unique to you. Here's another thing about your testimony or your story. It's indisputably yours. And here's what I mean by that. Nobody can argue with you about your story. No one's going to get into a theological debate about how God has showed up in your life. It's your story, right? You know, that's a powerful tool. We talked about having the right tools. In our culture today, we live in a very morally relative culture, where what's true for you is okay, but that's not my truth. My truth is this, and you decide what's true for you. I'm going to decide. And that's unfortunately the society that we live in. It's very difficult to argue with someone who has that kind of mentality. And here's the deal, though. When you're sharing your testimony with somebody, it's not an argument. It's just you sharing your story. It's a powerful tool to use in this culture of relative truth. And you can show the validity of your story, not only through your words, but also how you live it out. Your unique story, indisputably yours, you can share that with your words and with your actions. People can't deny when they look at you and they say, you know what, there's something different about them. There's something different about them. I've got a couple of stories I could share here, but I want to share a little bit about, you know, you saw earlier, saw Dion hobbling off the stage. Dion and I are kindred spirits. We've both kind of been in the same situation a little bit this year, but God has really spoken to me, and this is indisputably my story about how God has spoken to me through this situation in my life. Back in February, if you didn't know, I was in a ski accident, snow skiing, and I broke my leg in two different places. And it was a pretty horrible thing for me because I'd never broken anything before, and it was just a bad situation all the way around. But the worst part about it for me wasn't necessarily the break of my leg. It wasn't the doctor's stay or anything like that. It was having to be in the hospital for 5 days. And then it was having to be laying flat on my back literally for about 5 weeks without being able to get up and do hardly anything for myself, relying completely on others. And through that, I went through literally, and I haven't shared this with a whole lot of people, but I went through some pretty serious depression during that time where I was dealing with those things. But God showed himself in so many ways during that time. And he has showed up, and I'm not one that says, and I don't believe it's true, that God is down there. He didn't reach down and push me off my skis and make me break my leg. God didn't do this to me, but God is not going to waste anything. And if we'll avail ourselves to his work in our life, then we can see him working in some tremendous, powerful ways in our life. And here's how God has used this, and I've just recently started recognizing this even more and more. You know, I have always I've been in a lot of hospitals in my job, right, as a pastor. I go to a lot of hospitals, but this was the first time I was on that side of the bed rail. The first time ever I had ever been on that side of the bed rail. And so through the work, and some of you have heard a little bit about the story about Pastor Mike contacting a church there locally and how that pastor and some of the young people came and prayed for me. I was impacted so greatly by that visit. It just showed me just a little glimpse about how important it is for us to show care for people when they're in that situation and how powerful just a simple hospital visit can be. You know, sometimes I get in a routine and I think, oh, I got to go to the hospital and visit so-and-so or whatever. And I lose the fact that really God wants to use me in that situation. And it can be a powerful thing for those people and for me. And so God showed me that during that time. Being flat on my back, the love and the care from this church, people bringing meals and people calling and people coming over, just a simple visit of someone caring enough to drive all the way out to the other side of Winder to come bring me a casserole. Really, we kind of make fun of that in the church a little bit about a casserole and kind of things, but it really is powerful. It really is effective. And to be able to see how God used those people in my life during that time made me realize how important it is to have a church family and how effective our ministry to one another can be. God used it in so many different ways. Just recently, I had a chance to counsel with a couple of men who were going through some situations in their life that has kind of robbed them of some of their ability to do what they used to do. And I was able to empathize with them at a greater level because I understand now what it's like to be able to do all these things and all of a sudden not be able to do those things. And I was able to empathize and be able to understand a little more about what they were going through. God uses those things, and that is indisputably my story. God spoke to me this past a couple of weeks ago as I got the privilege of being able to go up and take a hike with a backpacking trip with my son and John O'Neill. And as I'm walking along, I'm thinking, 4 months ago, I was laying flat on my back, and God has healed me, has brought me through that, through the love and care of his people and through the miracle of what he does in our own bodies and how we can heal, our bodies heal themselves, and through the gift of the medical profession that we have here, how God has given us the ability to use the intellect he's given us to be able to decide and learn how to better heal and manage our body through these processes. It's tremendous. And I'm walking along on this hike, 7 mile hike through the mountains, thinking 4 months ago I was laying flat on my back. My ankle was not moving at all. My knee had very little mobility in it. And here I am out taking a hike. with a backpack on through the mountains. It was incredible. And God spoke to me during that time about just resting in Him and allowing Him to take time to do things in your life. See, our stories are indisputably ours. Somebody can't come up and argue with me and say, God didn't do that. Well, it was my story. Yeah, that's exactly what God did in my life. And it's a powerful tool. Your testimony, your story, isn't a point to argue. It's a story to tell. And it's a powerful story. And God wants to use your story to draw others to Him. It's not an invitation to debate. But here's the thing. It contains verifiable facts about my experiences. You know, we can, someone could get, you know, talk to Terry about her experience and verify the facts of Nate's story and be able to say that. But what God did through that story is indisputably His. And you can't argue with that. And God wants to use it if you'll share it. Your testimony is powerful. Your story is powerful. And it's powerful not only for non-believers, but it's powerful for believers as well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, we see that our testimony, our story, can be used to edify other believers. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. When we share our stories with other believers, when I'm at a Trace Dias meeting and I get to hear some of these men share their stories, it's encouraging to me. It's challenging to me. It's an opportunity for me to hear and see how God is working in people's lives and to be encouraged to continue in the work that He's given us. When you share your testimony and other believers hear it, they realize, hey, listen, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one with a silver spoon testimony who still struggles with God. When I hear Nate share about how he's had the same experience as I have, grown up in church, but yet there are still moments of doubt, it's encouraging to me. Perhaps you're here and you're struggling with something. When you hear another believer share their testimony and how God showed up in that area of their life, it's encouraging to us. And it's a powerful tool that God wants us to use to encourage one another and build each other up. It's also a powerful testimony for the non-believer. Look next to you. Look at an empty blue chair that's next to you. That blue chair represents somebody in your sphere of influence who needs to hear your story, who needs to hear how a powerful, loving, gracious, effective God wants to impact their lives. Jesus wants to use you to reach out to others, and as we share our story, we impact their lives. And perhaps there's somebody who's just looking for an opportunity to believe, looking for an excuse that there really is a God and He really does care for me. And your story could be what God uses to move that person from doubt to belief, from darkness into light. In Mark chapter 5, we see the story that a lot of you probably heard before about Jesus casting out a legion of demons from this person into the pigs. You know the story? This guy's been, you know, he's been tormented by these demons, and Jesus asks what their name is, and they say, we're a legion, and He casts them out. They go into the pig, they run down, and they drown. Well, the rest of that story is that Jesus continues to minister in that area, and Jesus is going to climb on a boat to go to the next place to minister, and that guy, the one that He had just cast all those demons out, came and said, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to follow you. And this is Jesus' response in verse 19. It says, but Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you. What did He say? He said, go tell your story. Go home and tell your story. You can come with me and you can have a holy huddle in church here, or you can go out there in the world and you can share your story. Go tell what the Lord has done for you and how merciful He has been. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, that's the 10 cities around the city of the Sea of Galilee, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. You see, his story was impacting non-believers. As they heard how Jesus had showed up in his life and done something incredibly miraculous and how God had showed up and healed him, he shared that story and people were amazed. There's somebody in your life that will be amazed at how God has showed up in your life. And it'll either cause them to be more curious and ask questions or seek out the truth or to begin to seek God in their life. And God can use that. He can use that. It wasn't a theological argument that guy got into. He just shared a story. He wasn't trying to prove who Jesus was. He wasn't trying to explain the Messiah to them. He was just saying, listen, I met this guy. His name is Jesus, and this is what he did for me. And that was a powerful tool there for those. Now, our testimony isn't just our words. It's not just what we share with our mouth. The story we live is just as impactful as the story that we tell. Your story that you live out in your life. And I'm going to share a little bit more of another story. As I was preparing this message to deliver it at the Equip Camp that I was able to speak at, I got a text from my wife. And their school, you know, she's a school teacher, a special ed school teacher at a STEM school. And they're going through some turmoil there, you know, as happens sometimes when you get a bunch of people together. Pastor Bill used to say, you get 12 or more people together, something weird is going to happen. And that's something weird was happening there at the school. It was unfortunate what was going on, but there was teachers were talking amongst themselves and discussing what was going down. And there was this one teacher that Laura has really kind of taken a liking to and kind of befriended. And this teacher is involved in an alternate lifestyle and does not believe in Jesus, does not walk with Christ. And this text, the night that I was preparing this message about your story and about how powerful our story can be in sharing our story, either with our mouth or in our actions or both with other people, how God can use that, this came to me. And I believe it was from God. I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to read the text that came to Laura. And it's a great demonstration of how powerful our story can be. This lady says, I just need to tell you that you're such an amazing person. And someone who, all joking aside, I feel truly fortunate to have in my heart. In the short time that I've known you, I have come to know that, without a doubt, you are one of the most compassionate, passionate, and morally guided people I have ever met. Your sense of ethics and devotion to what's right and true is infectious. You inspire me to be like Laura. When I'm struggling with difficult students, a hard situation, or facing things that scare me, I want to be more like her. I don't typically share my beliefs or talk religion, but I want you to know that I truly believe that you see life with His, capital H, eyes, and love with His, capital H, heart. I've met, run into, ran from many who share, I'm sorry, ran from my share of faithful folks, and you and your son, talking about Grayson, exude the kind of joy that comes from living a servant's life with a full and happy heart. You make me feel seen, appreciated, and adequate as a colleague and a friend. I love you dearly for that. I hate this darkness that's looming. I hate it because I know that you feel it in your soul. And when you said that you were praying that it would resolve, I honestly believe that you are. And for the first time in a long time, that phrase felt hopeful for me. Thank you for being that comfort in my life. I'm here for you because you're a part of what makes my life feel worthy. Thank you for trusting me. What a powerful testimony. Now, I knew this all along because she's my wife, right? But this is someone who doesn't know Jesus, who isn't walking a life with Him, but sees it in my wife and in my son as they walk out their testimony and live as Jesus has called us to live. Laura wasn't over there preaching to this lady and condemning her lifestyle. She was just loving on her and living the life of Jesus before her. And we see what kind of impact that had on this lady's life. Your story can also impact others as you live out Jesus in front of them. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." Live out your story before others. that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. To God be the glory for the impact that Laura and Grayson are having in the school that they're at. To God be the glory as others see the good deeds that they're doing and recognize that that's coming from somewhere. Where's that coming from? And it gives them the opportunity to be Jesus in their life and to share that with others. Your story is a powerful tool. How are we going to make a difference in the world if we're just like everyone else? If you don't stand out, you're doing something wrong. If you look and act and speak just like everyone else, then there's a problem. If your life fits in perfectly with the flow of culture, of this world's thinking and its philosophies, then you are robbed of your effectiveness, and your story and your testimony becomes weak and ineffective. Live out your testimony in front of others. You say, well, you know what? I've done that before. I've shared my story with somebody. I had this person. I was praying for them. I wanted to see them. That was my neighbor, and I knew that they needed Jesus. I saw that they were going through this, and so I prayed for them. I shared with them my story, and nothing happened. They didn't come to Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They're not coming to church. Well, here's the deal. You're in good company. Paul, the apostle, you know him? He wrote, you know, a good section of our Bible and was, you know, pretty powerful guy, a man of God. In Acts chapter 17, we see the story of Paul at Mars Hill. And he had gone there specifically to share with some powerful and important people. And he went there and he's looking at the different altars and things, and he's using them to share his story. In fact, he's using them to share Jesus' story. And it says in verses 32 and 33, it says, "And when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered." You know what that means? That means they made fun of him. They're like, whatever. You're just making that up, right? Not everybody was affected in the same way, though. It says, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. He had opened the door through his story, through the story of how Jesus died, was crucified, was buried, raised again, and how that resurrection gave power to him and to the other believers. He shared that story, and not everybody responded in the same way. But here's the deal. That's not my problem. If I share my story with somebody and they don't respond the way I think that they want to, that's not my problem or my fault. A great definition of evangelism, which is partly what you're doing when you share your story, you're evangelizing, you're letting other people know the good news of Jesus Christ. A great definition of evangelism is sharing the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. It's not your fault. It's not your responsibility what they do with that information. It's your responsibility to share the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. The results are up to Him. That takes all the weight and responsibility off our shoulder for what the other person does. But the weight and the responsibility for sharing your story still rests squarely on you. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear this again. That seed was planted. The last word I hear on the power of your testimony, and this is a great passage. You know, we have the privilege as believers of knowing the author of all eternity, and he tells us how all of this began, but he didn't stop there. He tells us how all this ends as well. And if you have a Bible, if you read the last book of the Bible, and then other parts in the Bible too, and Daniel and Matthew and other places, you get to see a little glimpse of the end of the story. And here's the cool thing. We win. We win, guys. Let me share with you a little bit about how that happens. The last word on the power of your testimony is in the end, it's a powerful weapon. Your testimony, your story is a powerful weapon that God uses to defeat the enemy. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the accuser of the world, the enemy, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, the accuser of the world has been hurled down. They, the church, you and me, triumphed over him, over the accuser, over Satan, over Lucifer, over evil, by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus already did that part. The cross has already happened. That part has been paid. The blood has been shed. The blood of the Lamb has happened. The power is there. But it didn't stop there. How was he overcome? They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They shared what God had done in their life. The church shares. When we share what God does in our life, it is a powerful tool that God uses the blood of the Lamb along with our testimony to overcome and to defeat the accuser. Now, that's going to happen in the end. Ultimately, he's going to be cast down, but that can happen in somebody's life as well. Because the accuser is right there in your neighbor's ear, in your brother's ear, in your coworker's ear, whispering lies about them and oppressing them and holding them down. And all we have to do to defeat him is share with them about the blood of the Lamb and how God has used that blood in your life, the word of your testimony, your story, to defeat him in their life as well. There's somebody waiting to hear your story. There's somebody waiting to hear how God has showed up in your life and applied that blood that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago to give you healing and give you victory in your life. And the last thing I want to say here about how effective God can be in your testimony is that your testimony, your story, has got to be dynamic. Your life testimony is ongoing. Your story should not be, when I was 8 years old, Mama brought me to Vacation Bible School, and I walked down the aisle on Friday, and I talked to the pastor, and that Sunday I got baptized, praise Jesus, and you're 45 years old. That is not a testimony that God can use. He needs to know, people need to know, they need to hear the dynamic testimony of how God is effective in your life now. Yeah, you may have gotten saved. I got saved when I was 11 years old in Vacation Bible School. I sure did. Brother Duck, that was the pastor of the Little Baptist Church, Woodlawn Baptist Church in Crestview, Florida, where I felt the tug of God and I knew I'd been in church my whole life. I was 11. I'd been in church for, heard 11 years worth of Sunday school lessons. But something about that day, God tugged on me and I answered that call. But that didn't end my story. And that little office in the back of that small Baptist church down in Crestview, Florida, my story didn't end. That was just the first step. God is, your story is a dynamic story. And if your testimony stops there, the day that you got saved, the day that you joined the church, the day you gave your life to Christ, if your testimony hasn't had any entries, doesn't have any new chapters in the last 5 or 6 years, there's a problem. There's a problem because your testimony is dynamic. You had all this bad stuff before Jesus, and then you gave your life to him, and that is great. That is good. That is part of what God does. But your story doesn't end there. God's not done with you yet. And he should still be writing your testimony each and every day. I want to challenge you. Earlier, I asked you to go around and share something God had done in your life this week with somebody that was here. How many of you heard somebody? Not that you shared your own, but heard somebody do that. Anybody? Y'all kind of looked at me like I was crazy when I asked you to do that. God wants to use your story. And just like breaking my leg was not fun and it wasn't something I looked forward to and, you know, wouldn't want to do it ever again, but God used that in my life to write another chapter in my story. And God is going to use that in somebody else's life, but if I keep it to myself, if I always just bellyache about breaking my leg and, you know, tell how horrible it was and all that kind of stuff, and I don't share what God did through that situation, if I don't add that part of my story, then people aren't going to get the benefit of what's going on in my life. And just like I asked you earlier to look around and see a blue chair, that represents somebody in your life that needs to hear what God is doing in your life right now. You may not go out and knock on people's doors and, you know, lay out the, you know, the fivefold gospel with the, you know, the 4 points of the Roman, I mean, all that kind of stuff. You may not do that as far as an evangelistic tool, but you can share your story. You can share your story with the people that you run into in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, at the drive-thru, at Starbucks, wherever you are, you can share your story. And God will use that. It's a powerful tool. It's a dynamic story. I want to challenge you to do that. Share your testimony with people. Share your story. You say, well, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to let somebody else do that. I'm not real comfortable talking about the Lord, talking about Jesus, talking about God. Well, here's the deal. Here's a eye-opening passage in Scripture. Jesus himself says, "Whomever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." That's eye-opening to me. If I'm not willing to share my story and how God has used his love and graciousness in my life to affect me, Scripture says that he's going to, if we are hesitant to share our story, if we refuse to do that here, then he refuses to recognize us before his Father. That's pretty powerful. It's pretty strong words coming from Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and we testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with him." That's the power of your testimony. "And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Sharing your story, who Jesus is, what he did for you, and how it has impacted your life. That's what he's asked us to do. And in doing so, we bring others into the fellowship of Jesus. So as the band comes forward, well, here's my challenge for you today. I want you to share your unique, undeniable, powerful, and dynamic testimony in any way that you can to as many people as you can. You never know who's listening or watching to see if Jesus, if this Jesus thing is real. Your testimony, spoken and lived out, will be an effective tool in becoming a disciple maker. Because that's what it's all about. Go out into all the world and make disciples. A powerful tool in making disciples is your story. We all have got one. Nobody's got an excuse. We've got the tools. Let's use them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that you cared enough about me to not leave me in darkness, to not leave me in a state where I had no hope, no hope of his salvation, no hope of ever getting to you. But you sent your son Jesus to share your good news, to live the perfect life, to give the perfect sacrifice, to pay my penalty for the darkness and the evil in my life, and to raise from the dead to give me victory in life. Thank you for that, Lord. Help me to share that testimony in every way possible to everyone that I possibly can. Lord, I challenge others in this room, Lord, put it on their heart as well to share their story. Place someone on their heart that needs to hear their story so that someone may be affected by how they live and the words that they say. Thank you, God. Help us to use your testimony to reach others. In Jesus' name, amen.